Welcome to the Finance and Governance Committee. I'm Deshaun Quinn, the chair, joined by Councilmembers Krollar and Delestrinas Johnson. Let's start with business agenda item 8.
Okay. David Klein, City Administrator. This is a contract for prosecution services to extend our current agreement with the Walls Law Firm for another 6 months under the current terms and conditions. And it really is just waiting. One of the owners, Renee Walls, has been a pro tem judge, and she may continue that as a judge. And so that would just depend on who is going to be providing our prosecution services. While she's been pro tem judge, she has not been providing any service to the City of Tukwila. Aaron Walls has been doing that, and also another contract attorney, Karen Lentz. So that's what we want to find out, is who is going to be our ongoing prosecutor. And so we will bring that back to the council with a longer term contract, probably first or second quarter of next year.
Council members, but can you at least speak to the RFP process?
Yes, sorry, I forgot. Is that this year we went out for an RFP process for public defense and prosecution. And so public defense came through this committee and is on the council's agenda, I think, for approval this month. And prosecution, we did the same. And as we were working with this firm, this was some uncertainty in the final contract. So both parties agreed to just extend the current agreement and then come back to the council. We may go out to bid again in the first or second quarter, or we may continue this contract with the right, once we know who the prosecuting attorney is going to be.
Okay. So, quick questions. I think I understand the context. Have we been doing with what we've been paying? Have we had an interim prosecutor all along?
Aaron Walls has been our main prosecutor the whole time.
So that keeps it
And he brought on Karen Lentz to replace Renee Walls while she was doing the pro tem judging. That's the concern.
So that's the continuity we'll have.
That's the continuity that we have.
You mentioned an RFP process. Is that something that we would do next year?
We could do that again next year. We did the RFP process this year, and we only had one firm apply for that. And so that's what we're going to look at.
So I don't have any questions. Are we comfortable forwarding this to the consent agenda for 2021?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Item B, impact fee.
Okay, so Dave and I are going to tag team this one. I just lost my memo, so can we just get back there? Okay, so this is an annual process to update both the fire and park impact fees per TMC. We did not update them last year. We missed that year, so we're updating two increases in the one in. We're catching 2021 and 2022 in this ordinance. So if you look at the bottom of page 5 of your packet, the index that we are required to use for TMC to update these are the construction cost index, and the chart shows the increase that would have been in place for last year, and the increase for 2022, and then the upcoming increase for 2023. So the total increase for both park and fire impact fees, because they follow the same index, is 20.75%. Again, these are only on specific projects that are in the blank. The capital improvement plan, growth needs for growth. And because this is already the end of November, we didn't think it would be quite right to come forward and say, adopt this now and have the rates take effect January 1st. So we're asking for a short deferral to be effective April 1st of next year to give a little bit of time for contractors and residents to get used to the updated fee schedule.
Questions?
No questions.
I just had a question about fire impact fees and what happens when, if there's a successful annexation, would that then go to the regional fire?
After the debt service is paid off, then yes, we would still collect the impact fees because that is a city responsibility. Fire impact fees are restricted to what they can be used for. They can only be used for capital projects. And so right now they'll be used to pay back the debt because that is capital related. The debt is on the books for the next 2039, I believe, is when the debt finally expires. And so we would retain the fire impact fees until then and continue using those to pay for the debt. After all of the debt is paid off, they would still be receipted by the city, and we would have to work with the RFA to determine what capital projects that they would be used for. But then they would be sent over to them to pay for engines or fire station improvements or other capital type type projects related to fire.
Okay, that was my only question.
The percentage that we're increasing it, is it on par with what other cities are doing?
And we're required to use the construction cost index per the TMC. So, and we actually did that research to see what other cities use as an index, because we actually have to pay for this index. And so we were looking for, is there another index out there that we can use? It does seem like a lot of cities do use the construction cost index. It is more representative of what's going on in the building industry. So it is the consultant we hired to do these the fee study update, which was a few years ago, they actually recommended this index. But a couple of cities do use the CPI, Seattle, Bremerton. So, I mean, there are some other indexes used, but the majority of them use the construction cost index.
If I could, two-part question here. Are the increases a windfall to us in our budgeting process? Are we getting more to pay down our debts with?
So it doesn't change what we've budgeted, particularly for their fire impact fees. We basically budgeted based on our D20 model, which is $300,000 a year. Sometimes we've hit that budget, sometimes we haven't. Until there's actual development going on, this is not going to be anything that resembles a windfall. We need to have development occur for these fees to come in.
Got it. Okay, then I will just ask, what I'm looking at amounts, I think I'm seeing amounts, but what is the amount difference with this 20%?
We mean amount difference
in terms of revenues. We won't know until there's construction.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's just the fee that's charged for the permit.
Okay.
And I think maybe just important to note that this would take effect.
Yeah, April 1st.
Yeah. It won't take effect January 1.
So I heard that in the presentation, but I think the thing that I appreciate is one, we're using the CPI index or the CC index, and it really is keeping up for the cost of services real time. And then on the backside, even if the RFA, if we're still collecting a fee, if they have a capital project, they have to send a capital project as far as documentation before we would send the fee. So it's really kind of ongoing. Thinking about, I don't see mass construction in Tukwila, but I know we are behind back fees. So, and we have the debt service.
Yes, exactly.
So, let's see. Is everyone comfortable forwarding this to the 1128 COW and the 12.5 ring? Right? And now, what, part two? Or?
So, I kind of gave the memo. I gave the explanation for both. So,
okay. Well, let me.
We decided one memo, same thing, but I'll let David see if he has anything else he wants to add.
Hi, David Rosen, partner, patient, fiscal analyst for the record. Basically, the exact same thing we're talking about here for parks. We have project lists that we identify with park impact fees that can be used for, and we tie to the same exact index, the construction cost index. We were also on the same NIST schedule, per se, that we did not do last year, so we've been 2 years here. We're just looking to catch up those park impact fees with the same understanding that, as with fire impact fees, it's sort of a volatile source. You know, add development, great. If we don't, it's kind of a nothing. April 1, 23, and we're looking at the same percentage increase as fire impact using the same index. Happy to take questions, sir.
Just having fun with the date. April 1st is just because you want the first quarter to go by and you start Q2.
We just thought it was fair to contractors to not be coming and saying
one quarter year.
Yeah. Okay. Give them a chance to adapt to it.
All right.
All right. Let's see Rachel here.
If I could make a suggestion, because I know she is in the CSNS meeting, sure, with another topic, if we could skip down, I'm just going to call Julie Hatley on. Hopefully she's ready to jump in and maybe alter, adjust the
order. So item D.
So if we move and support that.
Yeah.
Motion to do that.
Hello, this is Julie Hatley from Finance, the ARPA Funds Analyst, and thank you for this opportunity to talk with you about the ARPA expenditures that have occurred from January until June of this year. I'm just going to start with a little bit of bookkeeping just to say that all of the allocations in which the expenditures were against were all approved by the City Council in 2021. And we received a total amount of $5.68 million, with the first payment received in June of last year, and the second we just received in July of this year. It's our second and last. And all of the expenditures need to be made either by December 31st, 2024, or contractually obligated by then. There's some different timelines in here that I included just for completeness. Just one to note is that the U.S. Treasury, due to defunding, is no longer going to be funding their call-in center for municipalities and cities to call in and get assistance. Just want to reiterate my commitment to making sure we are in compliance. And they did note that there is a rule that debars them from moving staff and funds for staffing from one program to another in their department. But, you know, I've tackled everything now. It'll continue to go well. There's a couple other timeline notes. I'm just going to talk about those in the discussion section. Under discussion, all of these allocations with expenditures directly benefit or indirectly benefit our visitors, community, to our community, business owners, residents. The first one is administrative services. And that's for rent and utility assistance. 72 individual households were assisted using ARPA funds and in the first 6 months of this year. And that includes following, Human Services has their own protocols of if they provide multiple help to the same household or just one time based upon their protocols and lifetime amounts that they do. The second one is dark trace, cybersecurity, and just to not create a security risk, we're not mentioning anything about details about that. But as you can see, as you start to flow through here, I should mention that it does say the allocation says how much they received per your vote in 2022, how much in the first half has been expended already, and how much in the funds are remaining for Q3 and Q4. Then community development, two permit processing staff were restored with ARPA, and they actually report achieving the goals that they set out for themselves in the first 6 months. Their goals were to decrease the backlog. They wanted to increase their processing time for permits. They also were able to cross-train staff so that they have a lot more fluidity, and so they were very proud to tell me about that. In the finance department allocation, that was for my position. And this is where I'd like to highlight a couple things that in the timeline of ARPA. The first is I reported last time that I prepared a report to the U.S. Treasury per the requirements. And what we didn't know at the time was that they were cool with it. U.S. Treasury came back with no errors. And so I'm thrilled to report that was a result of all the hard work. So that's great. The other thing is that for the 2021 state audit that we had this year, the auditors asked me a lot of questions, and all the prep work and everything, the foundation that was laid, actually resulted in the auditors being complimentary of the ARPA system that we have in place for the tracking and monitoring. They really looked at it hard, so that's great too. Some other responsibilities I had, just so you have an idea of what else I'm doing, I did some pre- and post-COVID research for finance regarding inflation, revenue, and some other tasks to help with the budget process. And then I'm also doing the Q3, Q4 reporting and all the other reporting I already mentioned. I'll do that for 2023. For the fire department, Theirs was for the overtime for their minimum staffing level, and that's to best support our community and our people and our property. And for public works, they had two categories. Residential street maintenance, they actually provided me with some great data, and it includes the list of the actual work locations where they performed work, and that they did have some challenges related to, you know, manpower, providing adequate service levels, kind of the repetitive tasks of homeless encampment, illegal dumping, littering. However, you know, their commitment has been strong, and I really appreciate that they've provided me with so much detail. And I will have more details at the end of 2022 as well. For their traffic calming, they actually stressed that they really took seriously the community requests, specifically for Allentown, how the heavy trucks and the residents there can commingle safely together. And then they highlighted the work that they've done for really making people, pedestrians, more noticeable, and so that the access points to the Tukwila Community Center have been improved and are improving, and that they have done data studies and they're doing more analysis to even make that even better. They also noted a couple of elementary schools have requested their services that are noted there, and that's to increase the safety walkability as well. And the last category is recreation. And for their after-school program, it's amazing how popular the programming is with parents and students. And it's really clearly shown in just the sheer numbers of families and students participating. In last year, September through December 2021, the participation was about 40 initial participants. And just alone, in January to June of this last school year, they went to over 4,000 participants in their programming. And if you compare pre-pandemic, the first 6 months, the numbers they had was 6,200. So really, it's amazing what providing those resources, this extra funding to get these programs going, has really been very helpful to them and our community. I also worked with the recreation department when we were trying to figure out how to get preschool programming and the need to improve student school readiness into their model. So we were able to use their ARPA funding and expand their preschool programming. And one of the unfortunate things you'll note at the end of that section is there's just been a prevailing job climate such that due to staff shortages, they were unable to staff the fall carnival before school or even, you know, the winter break this year. So hopefully that will change and they will get a little bit more. I'm trying to bring my light in a little bit. And then their second category is their park maintenance. There's been some tangible evidence of increased park usage as a result of ARPA funding the two maintenance positions. And I just included one here. It's a little bit hard to compare 6 months of data that we have versus full year data of prior years. But here I included the park rental income for the different shelters and fields. And just an increased use of the parks is shown in the rental income. So that in 2019, it was just under 14,000 for the entire year. And then now for the first half of 2022, they're at 15,000 in rental income. So things are coming back, and they really have cited that increasing public safety has led to increased park use, and it's just kind of nice to see that. I did include one of their documents there. It's their PROS plan, in case somebody had more details about where the parks are and everything like that that they wanted. On the last section, it's allocations that didn't have any spending at all in Q1 and Q2. So I'm just going to go through each one. Business assistants chose not to use ARPA funding for any programming, and they did not have any plans for the rest of this year either. Leadership initiatives, they did. They have had expenditures in the third quarter, and so those will be reconciled, and I'll have more information on that when I report to you later. Summer camp, that all happened pretty much in the third quarter. So so they brought back Teen Venture Camp after a two-year absence. And so I'll have all the participation numbers compared to prior years on that as well. And then, as I mentioned, preschool programming was expanded to include summer activities and programs for parents and their children that was very well received. And I'll have reporting on those numbers later too. The council build out, they also have had third quarter expenditures. So I'll let you know more about that later. And then C-Click Fix, that was under the 2022 allocation. However, the renewal was due in 2021. So the 2022 allocation was used to renew with a special deal that was provided by the company that we didn't have to renew again until 2023. So if you were to compare the allocations and then this document, you could see how that laid out. So I've mentioned quarter three and quarter four. I will continue to work as next steps on them. And then I'll prepare. I'd love to come back in front of this committee again and talk about all of 2022 in next year. And then I'll continue to be working to prepare for the 2022 state audit, as well as our U.S. Treasury reporting. And then one of the other things I'm really thrilled that I do is I work with individual departments on coordinating their spending and what they could use the funds for our community. Any questions?
Just a comment and a question. Looks like we hit all the priority categories that we talked about trying to meet for the public from their feedback over the summer on the biennial budget. I can't think of a category that we're not touching here. Correct. Can you?
Yeah, we're getting them all.
Pretty good. Anything that we aren't spending now, if it's we will be spending it in the next year with Earnest because it'll go away in 2024?
So I can go ahead and answer that if that's okay, Julie. So Vicki Carlson, Finance Director. So the way we have our budget, ARPA funds plugged into the budget, is we continue the same programs in 2023. We do not have enough money of ARPA funds to continue all the way through 2024. We fund the ARPA analyst position until all the reporting is done. And then we have funding in for traffic calming. And then basically that's it. So if there's any underruns this year or 2023, that would help fund 2024. But the way it's currently budgeted, we only have funding for two items in 2024.
So when we see the council chamber build out and things like that, it may be reconciled next year, or it might not be, and it could go into the salary for the person. Okay. Well, from my corner, Julie, I think it's money well spent. I'm glad you're here. I go through this where I work right now and the project that I'm working on. I'm highly accountable to the U.S. Treasury as well. And so I appreciate the, you know, bliss of having them say, well, yeah, all along we thought you were right on. So that's nice to hear.
And I will just add that it's been really a blessing having this position because, as you heard her say, the federal government eliminated funding for that. And there are cities that have not spent any ARPA funding yet. And so they're going to be facing that first reporting period with no assistance from the federal government. And I cannot imagine being in that situation.
They're screaming about it all the way to National Legal Cities right now.
That's yeah. Major.
So I agree. I'm really pleased to see this report and see how we've spent our funds. I agree with Councilmember Crowler that, you know, seeing it in hindsight, after we made these decisions and seeing how it was spent by the different departments is very great. One of the questions I had was answered, which is what happens to the funds remaining? Is it just going to be kept into the programs as, you know, the same programs and just continued on?
That's how we budgeted.
And then my other question was, if I, and maybe I'm not remembering correctly, but when we made the allocation, I remember there being some remaining funds that we didn't allocate because we didn't know what was going to happen. We wanted to be able to have some funds to use during this budget cycle to, because we didn't know what the pandemic would entail.
They've all been allocated.
When
we realized that, so we had that conversation before we knew what CPI was going to be for 2023.
Okay.
And so we, as part of the budget process from the administration side, is we made the decision to go ahead and take those remaining ARPA funds and just continue the same level of funding. Otherwise, we would have had an even bigger hole in the budget that would have needed funding sources or reduce other levels of service somewhere else. So it was really a decision of, we hit all of the major areas that the community wanted to see be restored, and so we just continue that.
Okay.
Because this is the unfortunate part about having such a low population, is we received ARPA funds based on our population, unfortunately, so there were some cities that received significantly more funding than we did. And with the programs that we chose to allocate those funds to, we just run out.
For the next report out, could we include just a little bit of like what you just explained?
Some of that.
Because there might be other council members who remember that we did leave some money, thinking that we would use it to then, you know, address some needs that came up. So I think it would be good to explain that, but that's understandable that we've had to utilize those funds to then keep up with inflation in all these areas. And then, I mean, I have questions about why there was no spending on the business assistance and then no plans to spend it in the future, but that's not really a question you could answer. That's
right. We can certainly raise that question and provide that in the next report.
That's all.
And there were other resources like the Chamber of Commerce.
Sure.
Other
places. Administrative.
Yeah. So it just might have been used as far. One or two resources to build that traction.
And it is planned in 2023 that those funds will move.
So they're different.
They're just moving over. They're still available to us in the 23 budget.
Perfect.
My last question is, I'm kind of opening this memo. Are we going to meet the date? Are we meant to number 30?
Yeah, we have met all the deadlines, the reporting deadlines.
So,
and we will continue to.
Everything else is back. So are we comfortable with it's discussion?
Yeah.
So I think this is beneficial. So as we go on and next year, I think there's things to learn from the process. So, you know, the more information, the more transparency on this stuff, the better. Takes a lot of reporting, and as Councilmember Feller mentioned, like there needs to be attention to detail in this process, and that's a reflection of Julie, your work, and everyone else's, especially the program, had that answer questions, and it could be informative for us. Right. Question only. So we are at the legislative agenda.
I am Miss Bianchi for a little bit. She is double booked right now, so I just went to the other committee. The three of you are familiar with our legislative agenda. Most of you have helped create it. Just a few dates. This is the typical thing. We go to both committees to get six council members' input. We reflect those comments. It'll come back to the committee of the whole, but you can have a full conversation on November 28th. David Foster will also be there to give you an update on the legislative session, and then with the expectation that you would approve it on December 5th. You'll notice as we turn to page 16, thank you. On 19, you'll see some of the changes, and a lot of the conversation that was in the other committee was, you know, how successful have you been as a city working through this agenda? And really, I think that it's been a good partnership of, once the city is clear about its agenda, it can work mayor, council, city staff, And our lobbyist, David Foster, has been very effective, and that's why that very first one is taken off. I think that's a great success story about getting full funding, overfunding for the Allentown Bridge, which was a key priority of this council for several years, and we secured that funding last year. So you can read through some of the different changes that we've gone through on these different ones. I'll take give you some time to read through those if there's any questions, and then I'll take those back to Ms. Bianchi, and if there's any changes that you'd like, we'll show those often, and then we'll get make sure is there full council support ideas. The council reviews that in a couple of weeks.
All right. Yeah, I got questions. Yep. The law enforcement moved up to the front page from the second page of the site. I'm seeing language that nearly matches what said the Sound Cities Association, Washington City.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know any different on here? Basically, to clarify.
This one, and I think on COW, you'll also have, Chief Drever there. This is something that I know several people are in this space about. How do we respond to the Blake decision effectively? How do we get treatment provided? Those are all these things. And is that the one you were thinking about, or the pursuits piece of this?
Either one's fine.
Yeah.
There's actually three bullets on the mm-hmm. Sound Cities one. Mm-hmm. I'm not at the moment recollecting.
Yeah, I don't have that record.
Two clarify and one respond.
Okay.
So I think the first one is there, and maybe there's an and in the middle of the second one. Mm-hmm. I don't realize it both, but mm-hmm. it'd be worth taking a gander at that.
Okay.
I have no trouble with dropping the bridge. We don't have anything bigger than the cooling system on TCC to spend money out of them, because they are flush with money right now.
Well, that's the beginning piece. I think infrastructure is going to be a big one, but I think the HVAC I'm looking at, our Parks and Rec, is at least $2 million, maybe possibly more than that. We're also looking for grants. And now Ms. Bianchi's here. We just started going through this. And,
thank you.
Thank you
so much. We did the intro.
Any questions at this point?
Okay.
So on the second page under education, I think I'm disappointed with the improved language access for non-English speaking families. I think Councilmember Delfino Thompson put that in there. So I'd be looking to her to decide whether or not she thinks that's been met or somehow lowered.
It's that's why it's removed.
Okay. All right. And then I think I'm comfortable right now. Not sure why we dropped transportation from the infrastructure, other than you just don't have any transportation projects, even though we're talking about roads, bridges, and other things underneath.
Yeah, I just thought it was cleaner, but happy to make any changes to council sees fit.
I think leaving transportation and infrastructure in there because some of the federal bills and what they talked about. They have our eyes as a city are open to that. Transportation policy board hoping that opportunities for us to get money. I'd like to be from the city level.
I want to hear from everybody. I have some thoughts on that.
My only comment, everything was fine to me. My only comment is that there were some legislative priorities that were identified by the members in SCIP around affordable housing. And I just wanted an opportunity to kind of see whether all of those points were addressed in here, and if not, if I could just send you some that weren't, that might have been missed, but I don't know if you guys looked at that. And
I try to look at all of the, like, to skip AWC, SCA, all of those things, and that's part of the reason why, frankly, the housing stability one is so broad.
Okay.
Is and that I don't know if David mentioned this, but one of the things we do is we do try to keep it broad enough that staff doesn't have to come back to you every week during the session and say, what about this bill? So
keeping it
so if you're good with it, that's part of our strategy is to keep it broad so that we can be nimble.
I mean, I know David's on there. As long as he's aware and has access to SCIP, like the legislative priorities that all the SCIP cities identified, that was really like, I'll say, a compromise between all the cities. Mm-hmm. So I would agree with what we all agree to.
So my comments, I don't really have, I think folks have covered, but I did have a language question under the law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if we insert the word further and why, because I think we did ask for clarification, and I think there was some state legislative annex section which attempted to clarify.
Right.
So I think saying being intentional to further clarify, depending on what jurisdiction people feel like, okay, I have enough information. And then on the infrastructure, like, I would be in support of that, and it makes me ask the question, I don't want to have anything. But the reason why infrastructure is so important is because it changes the revenue system during my sales tax. And this all predated us, but how is that working? Right? So, for example, our part, we talk about by population, but there's no recognition that there are impacts at facilities. And I think there was a time when sharing revenue equally maybe made sense, but that's when we had more robust funding. I'm just wondering, maybe David, or anyone around the I know the appetite is not to open that, but I just think every 4 years or something like that, we should,
right?
You know, how is that working for jurisdictions? I know that part of it was Tukwila had a lot of retail sales, and Black Diamond doesn't have any. So we wanted to create a space where you didn't have to take on a retail establishment. But nobody said anything about it. So the question is, and especially when it comes to infrastructure, that's what we see. And in law. So those are the things that I'm on the in the revenue space is just, how's that working for us?
I think that, and if we've fallen short, we definitely want to try to put a brighter light on that. But we did try to get that with that bullet about stable, reliable, and then on the revenue reform, right? Because now that you're right about streamlined sales tax, but the other big thing that's hobbling not just us, but all jurisdictions is the 1% property tax, yeah, which we have addressed here as well. But
by means, I'm comfortable with that. I know that that's something that legislators didn't want to touch, the 1%. But what about something more specific? You have regional draw facility. What comes with that? A significant impact. And we have, we're now realizing the experience of the streamlined sales tax not being here means that needs to be borne by a city that has a 20,000 population. I don't think that's right. And
isn't that invested in?
Yeah, right. We would, yeah, if we had the option to do it all over again,
yep,
maybe it'd still be fine. So that, those are just my thoughts of maybe tying more specifically, because I know sometimes the legislature is like, well, SCA or cities, be clear on what you want. It's like, yeah, we're clear. The 1% cap isn't working, but also what isn't working is the streamlined sales tax. So, but to further clarify, I think that's just important to acknowledge, because I think some legislators thought they fixed it. Even the Attorney General thought that it was addressed, but there needs to be further clarification.
Yep.
That's really all I have.
Back on the law enforcement piece, similarly, I should have this memorized report over the Seven Sound Cities Association. Their construct is similar to AWC's, and all I remember is the response to the Lake decision, clarify. I don't mind if it's further clarify. What did we drop, or did you combine it with a conjunction in here somehow that I don't? Two of them in there. And the one that they have for Sound Cities.
I'm sorry, can you read?
Sound Cities just put their draft in front of us on Wednesday. We went over it.
Yeah, I
had nauseam during the media.
Right.
And I can't remember why, what it was, but I was laughing. So I remember to respond and two clarifies.
Mm-hmm.
And now here I see respond, which matches what they were saying, and one clarify. The question is there two? Is there a conjunction in here and you fit both of them into one sentence and I don't realize it, or did we drop one?
Neither. Okay. Neither. So these were just the two that I knew had risen to the top. So
okay.
And were specifically requested by the police chief,
right,
in that discussion. So I may have gone and borrowed some language from those.
That's okay.
Right. But I didn't drop it. These were requested by the police chief.
So I'm okay with further clarify, but what I would ask you to check that one other bullet in the Sound Cities one, because I went through pretty good vetting out there. And if it rings true with Tickle, that'd be nice to have that in the queue. I know we're trying not to make the document longer, but and yeah, there was one more. Did we decide we're going to leave transportation in with infrastructure?
I have that as routine.
Okay. Good. Now, so will it be finalized?
So it, what will happen is we'll come to COW on the 28th, and Mr. Foster will be there in person. Hello, I didn't actually realize you were there. So, and provide you with a kind of a look ahead for the coming session, which we do every year. And then there'll be more discussion about the agenda, and you'll determine whether or not you want to move it to the December 5th.
Thank you. Council for 28 COW.
Sure.
All right. Moving on to item D.
Okay, so it's going to be a little bit of a walk back in time, right? In 2019, you all, as a part of, you know, the work that we do on compensation and policy, we refreshed the policy at that point and all that kind of stuff. The council provided direction to staff that they wanted the non-reps to move to a market-based system. And so the direction in 2019 was, here's some money, go do an RFP, do a market-based study, and come back to us with that. And then we will retro anybody out of market to that January of 2020. Guess what? COVID, right? And so as we were looking for all the pennies in the couch, we just got rid of the funding for that study. That study is currently in the existing budget. We also, as I know that you are all aware, have a ongoing compression issue within police that has to do with contractual agreements that have been made. So in the budget is the funding for this study. I don't remember if all of you were here. I'm not sure you weren't here at the time. So just a little bit of background. Our non-reps system is based on what's called the decision band method. And so that's where you have pay grades and you have steps and all of that kind of stuff, right? Our system is broken and we broke our system. So, and that happened over a period of time, right? Whenever you have a DVM system, you need everybody to move at once. If you move anybody on their own, you break the system. So we did that multiple, right? And so what you have here is the 2019 memo that starts on page 23 of your packet was really thorough. And, you know, I don't remember exactly who was on the finance committee meeting at that time, but there's a lot of discussion in here and there's a lot of history in here about how we broke the DVM system, right? So because we broke the system, that 2019 was the last time we tried to do any regression analysis, and it's not useful information for you, and it at this point, because the system is broken, right? So we are suggesting that we go back and do that study that you wanted, right? Put the non-reps on a market-based system that then you'll be able to, staff will be able to benchmark every year, market to market, right? You need to build in and deal with the compression issue. But let's do this. Our suggestion is that we go ahead and do this. And in order to retain the internal equity, in order to retain what you all had said previously, we retro it to 2020. And I say that partially because if you look at the bottom of page 21, we've gone through a recent process with the Teamsters on this, and they were also retroed back. And so what part of your compensation policy is around equity. So we do have in the budget, again, we have the funding for the study, and we have in the budget that the retro for back to 2020. So I know this is a lot of information, and I'm very much missing Mr. Padilla right now because he was instrumental in this whole discussion that we had.
So the bottom line is you're looking to get a consultant to assess our process and get it all equitable again as opposed to broken.
So they will create an entirely new compensation structure for the non-rep. So they will look at every single job. For instance, right now we have, and if you go back in the 2019 memo, we have...
But I'm okay.
Right.
They're going to do a study.
They're going to not just do a study. They're going to give us a new compensation.
Got it. Right. And who are they?
We have to do an RFP.
Okay.
So we did that previously. We got far enough that we had selected someone.
Okay.
Right. So we know.
So does that hold? I mean.
No, we have to do it.
Okay. And then the amount of money, RFP, and the reassessment of our structure and process. Yeah, an estimate. It's in the budget.
$150,000.
And then how soon?
I hope we'll be able to get it done first, second quarter of next. Probably won't be done until second quarter. But if, you know, we're actually going to plan on going out to the street with the RFP sooner than later. We can always pull it if you guys decide to pull it.
And then we're starting with the non-represented. Why?
Because you have contractual agreements with all of the other ones that have moved them along. And then
That was a good answer, contractual risk. So I see this like traffic. I know it sounds weird. I call it when groups of traffic get all clustered and then there's whole areas where it's either ahead or behind it, it'd be nice and open it. And it's an accordion effect if you're in the middle. This feels like an accordion effect to me. So my one worry, just a slight worry, is that if we start working on maybe the accordion is all compressed on the ends but nice and wide open, or the non-represented, we start working on that, is that strategically the right place? Or should we be planning about doing something about where the high compression pieces are? And I don't even know if the non-reps are compressed more than the represented are, to be absolutely honest at this point. But there needs to be a high-level look, and I'm worried about just saying we're just going to take care of the non-reps. And all of this thing to me is one giant accordion, and I don't know where they are in that compressed, not compressed point, and that if we kind of like work on your backbone, if you fuse these two together, the pain goes north and south, right? So there's two allergies.
Yeah, I mean, the direction
allergies I'm giving you, but I'm trying to let
right.
you know that
right.
it might be a right place to do this.
I don't.
Even though the timing's right.
Right.
It might be strategically something different.
I don't think this is starting with the non-reps by any stretch of the imagination. This is the end of all of your compensation
yeah.
work that you have. These are the only employees where you have the ability to say, I want you to be at a market level only,
yeah.
right? And that's the direction that you gave us, right? The represented staff are on an agreement basis. Right? And it's not necessarily a market. Now, that being said, as you can see on the bottom of 21, we did do some market work with the Teamsters specifically. That was agreement that you all made.
Right.
And we did those retro. So again, I don't think this is starting with the non-reps in any stretch. I think this is finally implementing council-directed policy that you've given us a while ago.
And I know what a decision management method is, but I'm curious to make sure you've been here long enough, maybe you know all about it, but it would make, somehow I would define what we think that phrase and acronym means to us somewhere in these documents. Just trying to get that definition right now, I think that'd be the smartest thing. It's just,
yeah.
You know, before we just say we're abandoning this, what was it that we had? Because we spent a lot of time playing with that.
Agree, it's here, right?
Yeah, I can see it. This thing
is scary. I mean, so I wanted to just add to the background is we tried a couple of different things, and they all failed. And one of the things that we were looking forward to on was to do this final step. Never got there. In the meantime, we broke the system. Not only did we broke the system, we kind of jerry-rigged the system to get us through. But I think the goal was to have a process where we look at, I remember lively debates from council members around decision ban versus a non-decision ban. We went through all that work, had several sessions to ultimately come to the conclusion that we And so having a market-based, and then I would believe that the Teamsters component to a market-based study was in anticipation of us doing that process. So I'm comfortable, but I wanted to give you an opportunity. I mean, we worked this thing till it all fell apart.
I'm in no way endorsing it, but I want to make sure that Councilmember Abdi is absolutely clear. Sharp is absolutely clear. I think all three of us council has been on finance committees and knows, but I don't know. So it's like,
well,
there's three of us who went through the trenches on this thing, and there's a lot of mistakes there that we are witness to and supported. So the thing is, like, at some point, a session to edify them on where we've been, so we don't revisit it.
I hear you, and we might revisit it. But I think
but at least their eyes would be
wide. What would be good is maybe to send the amount of years we actually touched this. We touched this.
Yeah.
And try to, we had new cities that we brought into, we did all that stuff.
It wasn't for the lack of trying to do the right thing.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and there were some years we sat back and went, wow, got that right. But then something else in the right. Area.
I'm covering all the things that you guys looked at. It was enough for me to see that this is really, so I'm comfortable with it.
Well,
so we'll be discussing it again tonight at the COW.
Yeah, and you might. I mean, I think this is something significant.
Yeah, I'm
not anything special other than you were around to watch a break.
Yeah, obviously that would be helpful for them to hear that.
I remember a meeting at the community center where Councilmember Robertson was sending his theories on, and then at the end of the day, there's this part where we want to have it private because there's more, you know. So
That was Robertson really wanted to be market only. So
yeah,
it's interesting to see this on schedule and do that with you.
I think because we broke.
Yeah, I think we really did. So, all right.
Thank you.
Discussion.
One more. This is the monthly general fund update.
Tony Cullerton, Deputy Finance Director, and so I'm going to give the general fund update for the month of September. So in your packet, the implemental starts on page 43. I'm going to just jump right to page 44 and speak from the charts. So at the end of September, we're at 75% of the year. You can see on the subtotal line that the general fund departments came in at 69.8%. Let's call it 70%. So they are coming in line at the end of the year. We've added in the non-departmental at 78%. So the general fund in its total at 75% of the year is about 71%. So it's good news, three quarters of the way into the year.
So let me, where does it say 71, or did you just take the averages and you know?
So I am on page 44.
Yep.
And I am looking at total expenditures under the column that is percent expended.
Okay.
And that is 70.95.
Gotcha.
So I'm rolling that to 71.
6 a.m. 75.
Okay. Yeah. And so then right above that, you can see the individual departments total 69.81%. So of those, similar to the last few months that we've been here, it's the same departments that are trending slightly higher. You'll see fire is at 75.44%. And again, on page 44, under the percent expended is where I'm seeing that. Attributed primarily to overtime. The public works, parks maintenance department is at 81%. And we've looked at that in the past couple months, and that has to do with a grant that's a revenue-backed budget amendment that will be coming as the SEEK grant specifically for that, that's bringing those revenues. And then the third one is the streets maintenance department. They're at 76.31%. And that is one that, although they're over budget as allocated at 75% of the year, when we look at where they are compared to their allocated budget, where they were last year at this time, they're coming in significantly lower than that, $645,000 under. So all in all, at three quarters of the year, we are looking well for the general fund as far as holding true to expenses. On page 45, we have another chart that is just general fund expenses. I just did not want to leave this one out. But if you look at the, over to the far right, we have a percent expended. And you can just look at the subtotal. So total salaries and benefits came in at 69%. The total supplies, 41.9, let's call it 42. Total services, 73. So far, these are all under the 75%. So as a whole, not just individually, collectively, the general fund is doing well. And then at the very bottom, total expenditures, 71%, which agrees to the other chart at the department level. So all in all, at 75% of the year, we are coming in around 71%.
Any concerns about fourth quarter? You can tell just from talking to department heads about whether expenditures are accelerating in any way. Obviously, inflation impacts it somehow, but are you having deep worries about what the outcome is going to be?
So I think primarily our fire is one that we have expenses that are coming in that are in the pipeline. P-card purchases, we're not deeply concerned about it, but that is one that we do expect more expenses to be coming in the fourth quarter. And I think generally that is our primary concern. Do you agree?
Yeah, but it's really the department. Not only are they expending quite a bit in overtime, but we also have some year-end expenditures that aren't captured until fourth quarter. They've got a holiday buyback that hits, I believe, in November. I'm also expecting a couple of retirements in December that when we try to do some high-level calculations, we do expect those payouts to be pretty significant. So that's why we've included a budget amendment for fire that you'll see tonight. But I think that's the only department that we really have concerns on. Although I will say, pray we don't have a snowstorm, because if there's a weather-related event at the end of the year, then all bets are off.
That might already count.
So at the last meeting that we had on budget, thought there was ways you could use CIP money and push it back in the direction of general fund, and I was given a sense that that's not possible. But I've been listening to other financial people talk to me, and I'm given the impression that it is possible. So I have a feeling there's a percentage of my sense that actually does work out, and I just, if you cut CIP projects.
So in past years, we've had more general fund support going to our capital project funds.
Right. Yes.
And this coming biennium, we only have, I don't have the document in front of me, so don't quote me, but I believe it's just $100,000 being transferred in. And that's to cover the cost share for the HVAC system if we get that grant, because it doesn't cover 100%. There's a little bit of a match there. All the other capital project funds are funded by dedicated funding sources that we cannot use for general fund money. So it's restricted. So it's REIT, real estate excise tax, it's impact fees, parking tax fees that are all externally restricted to say you can only use it for this. Now, there is one revenue source that council did restrict, and that was the additional solid waste utility tax. You restricted that to street type projects,
mm-hmm.
and so we have allocated that in Fund 104. So you could because that is a council direction, you
yeah.
could change that policy and make that change.
How much money is there?
I don't want to take the wrong number, but there's a number. It is in the budget document.
Is that something that you could easily look
yeah.
for without it being restrained?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's in the okay. budget document. In fact, it takes its own separate line, so that's easy
okay.
to do.
Just pointed out to me, and I feel a little better because I think my impression was totally wrong. And the second question I have is on reserve funds. Knowing that I came into office, there were no money in the reserve funds. So my first thing I did was sit down with Peggy and get my number one initiative to get it restacked. So we spent all the money on, like, for lack of better words, barrier bags along the river because we were concerned about the dam breaking. So we spent a lot of money, did all that. I guess that would have felt emergent back then. So we restocked all that. There's been conversations about whether we have too much of the reserve funds or not enough. I would always fall on the conservative side and say there's not enough. But how much loose change is there that we could toy with?
So we have allocated all of the ending fund balance above our reserve requirements in the budget for 2023 and 2024. That's one of the legs of the stool that we're using to balance the budget.
So, but are we still, what percent are we at on our restricted amount?
It's 18% of prior year ongoing revenue.
So what kind of money would it be to drop by 5% for a couple of years?
I'd have to do the calculation.
Would it be a lot of money or a waste of time to calculate?
I can do the calculation.
Okay.
That's the easiest way to answer that.
Just to get an idea. If it's 100,000, I don't want to waste much of your time. But
yeah, I'll do the calculation.
Substantial funding in there that we can play with.
Yeah, I can do that calculation.
Okay.
It's clear.
Thank you.
I think say what each percent would be.
That would be great. And you don't have to go too deep, especially if it's like only 100,000. It's looking like 500,000 to a million. You know, I'd be very interested in what's going on.
Sure, I can get you that number. I would just, as the finance director, I would be remiss if I didn't at least caution you that anytime you want to bring down reserve funds,
mm-hmm.
Bond rating agencies don't tend to look at that
they don't
positive
like
light. So, there are ramifications for lowering mm-hmm. those amounts.
It's also a sign of living within your means, too. Okay. In your email the other day, you talked about if we did a B&O that would use a different kind of revenue stream and that would seem more balanced and somehow turn into a better rating, bond rating for us. Do we know that? Or do they just want to have a rock solid? So, for instance, if we chose to go with the business license instead of that.
Yeah, bond rating agencies look to see our revenue diversifications. What they don't like to see is reliance on just one or two significant revenue sources. They like to see diversifications. That way, if you have something happen with this revenue stream, it doesn't throw out all of your plans.
Gotcha.
And but so they do look at adding additional revenue sources, which the B&O tax would do, as opposed to saying keeping an existing revenue source and simply raising it.
Correct. I hear that, but it's the same well. However you size it, you're still going to the businesses for it.
But it's adding
and they're,
it's
the same well with a different name.
It's a new source.
You can call it a new source, but it's literally the same people paying more money to us.
Correct.
Okay.
It is same people.
So I would love at some other time have a discussion with whoever helps make those evaluations, understand what diverse really means. Okay.
And I know we have, so there are a bunch of things. We have historical data on reserves, and I think we pulled it up in previous years. To go down that route, it'd just be good to have it because I recall it a bit different than, you know, data is supposed to be.
Yep, absolutely.
It could be informed by sandbag or something like that, but just if we're going to, you know, unearth some things, let's make sure that things are technical.
Yep, I believe that.
Because we're going to
present
it's all background for all of us. So.
Yep.